From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour and next hour, a scientist's personal awakening into the psychic world. I'm looking forward to that. Well, look, of course, a story that we've all been following over the last few days now, Blacksburg, Virginia. A 23-year-old senior from South Korea whose creative writing was so disturbing that he was referred to the school's counseling service was behind the massacre of 30-plus people locked inside a university classroom building in the deadliest shooting rampage in modern U.S. history. Ballistics tests found that one of the guns used in the attack was also used in a shooting 2 hours earlier at a dormitory that left two people dead. Police identified the shooter as Cho Sheng-Wei of Centerville, Virginia, who was a senior in the English department at Virginia Tech. Cho, a resident alien who immigrated to the United States from South Korea in 1992, lived on campus. The bloodbath ended with Cho's suicide, bringing the death toll from two separate shootings, first at the dormitory and then to the classroom, to 33, and stamping the campus in a very picturesque Blue Ridge Mountains with unspeakable tragedy. A man shot in the heart by U.S. troops during the Vietnam War has just had the bullet removed after 40 years. The 60-year-old from his bed in the Hanoi Heart Hospital said, "I feel much better now. The chest pain has eased." He added, "I was very lucky to survive. People believe in their fate, and I do too." When he was shot in 1968, the bullet tore through his stomach, hit his cardiac valve, and lodged at the back of the heart. Surgeons carried out a three-hour operation to finally remove it after he went to a hospital complaining after 40 years of unbearable chest pains. Well, get ready for this. A bird flu vaccine has won federal approval for the very first time as a stopgap measure against a potential pandemic, they say, until more effective vaccines can be developed. The vaccine is the first to win Food and Drug Administration approval for use in protecting humans against the H5N1 influenza virus. It would be used if the strain mutated into a form that spread easily from person to person, sparking a pandemic. The vaccine already is being stockpiled for use in an outbreak of bird flu. It will not be commercially available. Approval came on the recommendation of FDA advisors, who in February said the vaccine would be better than nothing. When we get to open lines later, I'd like some of you to react to this. Would you take this bird flu vaccine? Natural Balance Pet Foods has recalled two kinds of pet food after receiving reports of animals vomiting and experiencing kidney problems, according to the FDA. The recall includes all date codes of venison and brown rice dry dog food and venison and green pea dry cat food by Natural Balance Pet Foods. A new island has been discovered in the Arctic after rising temperatures melted the giant ice sheet which covered it. The rocky mass dubbed Warming Island now lies 400 miles north of the Arctic Circle in eastern Greenland. It was found by a U.S. explorer, a 60-year-old by the name of Dennis Schmidt. It is seen, they say, as further proof of global warming. In New Delhi, India, passengers on a British Airways flight from New Delhi to London faced a 13-hour delay as the pilot felt that he was too sleepy after a noisy night in a New Delhi hotel. Angry passengers were offloaded from the plane early Sunday morning after the pilot simply refused to fly until he caught up with his sleep. "I'm not so sure I would have wanted to be on that plane anyway," until he felt he was ready to go. And you might remember a couple weeks ago I read a fast blast from an individual who listens to our show all the time named Lance. Lance was down, very distraught, needed a job, and simply asked for you to say a prayer, put you in his thoughts, use that power of the mass consciousness. So I read the fast blast. I open up my email today. Here's the subject matter. "Great news, George. Please read. Hi, remember when I asked for you to mention over the air for you guys to pray for me concerning getting a job? Well, I got one today. Good pay. Perfect hours, weekends off, and less than 5 minutes from my house. I just wanted everyone to know. Thanks from Lance." it does work. We've got open lines for you this hour. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's a wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and of course, we're back to our normal programming. The next hour, Maureen Cadell joins us as we talk about her journey into the psychic phenomenon. She was a scientist. She was a skeptic, and now she's changed. It's going to be a fascinating program. Let's go to the phones, open lines this entire hour. West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hello there.
George, I've never called before, but and I'm glad I got in.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Well, I wanted to call, and I sent you an email, so check your email. It says Truckers Protest. Next week, on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, in conjunction with this NAFTA open borders thing with the truckers, this outfit, and I don't know who they are, but I just saw their webpage, they are asking truckers to basically do a slow-rolling trucker protest in all the border state capitals and Washington, D.C. So I don't know how many truckers will participate in that or how many know about it, but that may be a very big thing. According to the Department of Transportation, they will be rolling in Mexican trucks in the lower 48 starting in 2 weeks. So this is hot, big news. And I would suggest you get Jimmy Hoffa, because if you go to the Teamsters, the International Teamsters web page.
And of course, we know Junior.
Right. Well, it's the top articles on their website. And you have Dianne Feinstein of California, Douglas Hunter. You have numerous Congress people trying to stop this. But Bush is bound and determined with, by the end of this year, you're going to have 100 Mexican trucking companies rolling on all 48. And I'll tell you, yeah, I don't know. I assume I'm calling you because I assume you have a lot of truck drivers driving that listen to your show.
Oh, we've got a huge truck driver audience. Also, I know Jimmy Hoffa Jr., as I call him, and I know his sister, Barbara Crancer, who's a judge here in St. Louis. So that's a great idea. Maybe it's time that we talk about this.
This is another angle on it, George, and I'll get off real quickly. I've been, just as a working person, I'm a carpenter, and I've been fighting the open borders as far as Mexican workers coming here and the Salvadorians and whoever, illegal aliens. And what's interesting is the Teamsters support open borders. So this is an interesting, but I don't know that the truckers, I would put out a call to your trucker family out there and see how many truckers support open borders for workers, but they want to see the borders closed to trucks. Because I would argue that the two work together. And if the truckers get on board with closing the borders and advise their Teamster leadership that we need to work together, there's another million advocates. Because I haven't heard the truckers really speak out about the borders yet. And it'd be interesting to see. Might do a couple shows on it in the next couple weeks.
Here. You seem very well educated about this.
Well, I'll tell you what I do, and I don't want to give you any websites. I don't know if you want me to mention anything on the air, but there are several.
No, don't do that, but tell us who you might be, I guess.
I'm a carpenter, and I'll tell you what. I urge every working person, whatever you do, if you're a working American, you have to get on the Internet. And you have to become a PhD in immigration, because immigration is going to ruin the working class. The blue-collar guys are going to be finished.
Well, let's say illegal immigration.
Illegal. Well, just massive immigration. If you study the works of Cesar Chavez.
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, Cesar Chavez marched all the way to the border in the mid-60s protesting open borders. He spoke in Congress in the 70s about this, and it's just a rule of thumb. When you flood a market with workers, legal or illegal, doesn't matter. Wages and working conditions go down.
Well, you don't have to flood the market with legal immigrants. And when I say, look, I'm opposed to illegal immigration. There's no doubt about that. But this country has been born on immigration, and controlled immigration is a good thing. To have the ability to let quality people into this country who want a better life and who care about the United States, rather than just open up the floodgates and let everybody in. You must have controlled immigration. This is a big country. It can support controlled immigration, but it cannot, in the long term, support this massive influx of illegal immigration. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I was listening to Art Bell the other night.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking to this, that guy he talks to all the time, Mission Impossible or Mission...
Well, you mean Ed Dames?
Yeah.
All right.
And Ed Dame says that the reason the bees are dying is a count of the sun storms, and they're getting too much UV, and they're going blind and can't find their way back to the hive.
Mm-hmm. That's what he indeed said that, and some scientists are saying they're getting too much radiation, possibly from cell phones and other areas like that. You know, Ed Dames is a great remote viewer, but we call him Dr. Doom. First-time caller line, it's your turn. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, my name's Ernie. I'm calling from Omaha. A couple things. You'd mentioned vaccines like the bird flu and so on. I would never take one. My beliefs, I do not believe that the vaccines have cured more problems than they've actually caused. They've actually caused the spread of other ailments. But another thing I wanted you to see if you might check into is the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people, and this is the time of year when people bend over backwards to submit to it, and that's the income tax. There's no law that makes the vast majority of Americans living and working in the 50 states liable. It all turns on liability.
Of course, you know, Ernie, every time somebody protests that, they end up losing in court, and they get hauled away.
Oh, you need to check into Joe Bannister. He's a former IRS.
Oh, yeah, I know about Joe. He's a good guy.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I had years ago Irwin Schiff on the program. Irwin, of course, fought his taxes all the way. He's in a jail somewhere.
And he got railroaded. They would not allow him to present U.S. Supreme Court case law. The judge kept saying, that's irrelevant. They railroaded.
See, the only problem, what's got to happen is tax reform. You know, because, you know, I do not believe, whether you believe there's a tax or not, most Americans are going to file their tax returns because they just don't want the legal hassle. And that's a problem. And, you know, if somebody's going to challenge it, it should have held up in court by now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, George. Listen, I was just wanted to comment on a couple of things that you had in your show before. It's kind of more of my recent experience. I'm like 20 years old, and always as a child, I kind of had a little bit of phenomenon dealing with, I guess, the different side of the world or between the veil. Start to say is like when I was a little child, I remember drawing a picture for a counselor. And I didn't pay much attention, and I just thought about it tonight when the guest that you had, Kathleen, and I remember as I drew the picture, it was more or less, it was a picture of hell, and there was a sword that was, like, lodged in a rock, and I remember that there were, like, I drew, like, demons and the devil dancing around it, like, they were saying that they had this sword, and I put up in the corner, like, Jesus was peeping through and saying, I forgot how it was, but it was a spooky thing. And a while back, you had another guest, and I believe she was a psychic or somewhat, and I'm not saying psychic, but she was talking about how that a lot of the, you know, supernatural entities of the evil side were going to, you know, inhabit people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a dream a while back, like a couple of months back, where it was me and six other people, being a total of seven. And we were standing on this glass floor, and the Grand Reaper was there. He all of a sudden appeared, and all seven of us banded together, and we took the wreath from the Grand Reaper, and we sliced through him, and his cloth dropped. Nothing was there. It was almost like Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever. And so it was like we were standing on this glass floor, and underneath it was hell. We could see the fire and everything.
God, what did it look like?
It was pretty much... It was, all I remember is seeing the color red, just like really red.
Could you see spirits or people down there?
I'm going to get to that. And the funny thing about it was that we took the wreath, the six other people and us, and I took the wreath, and we cut into the glass floor, and we went into hell, but they could not see us. It's like we were protected. It's like we.
All right, you were visitors in a bubble or something.
Know what it was like they couldn't, like the demons could not see us, but we could see them. And what it was that we were down there, and the other six people, it was like females and males, it was mixed group, and they went off to go see about something about a plan, and I had to go do my thing about a plan. And what happened was I end up going to this section, and it was like a communications room. If I don't know if you're familiar with military things or whatever.
Oh, well, sure am.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
And like I was saying, that's how it was set up. And I went to this communications room, and they were sent the demons, like little small demons, not like human-like, but they were, it was funny looking, but they were sending email communications. And I happened to look down at one of the email communications, and the thing that woke me up out of the middle of the night, and I kid you not, I, as soon as I woke up, I started, you know, just cursing the devil out. The thing that scared me the most was that on the email communication, it was addressed to a demon that was inside of my wife. It was like the dream was saying is like there are demons and people, and hell is sending messages up to these people, like email type things.
Emailing them right to their brain to have them do things. You know, it reminds me of a story, by the way. A politician died, and he went up to heaven. He's at the pearly gates. And St. Peter said, okay, now you have a choice to either get into heaven or hell. And the politician said, well, St. Peter, I want to go to heaven. He said, well, you know, why don't you look at hell for a little bit and then make up your mind? And so they summoned up the devil, and up he came, and so he takes the politician, he puts him in an elevator, and down, down, down they go. The door opens up, the devil walks out, the politician walks out, and they are in a gorgeous place. There's a bar, there's wine, women's song. The politician is having one heck of a time. And he says, this is hell? And he said, enjoy yourself. Well, he did. And about an hour later, the devil says, now you got to go back to heaven and you got to make up your mind. So up the elevator he went. St. Peter was there to greet him, and he said, now this is heaven. And he looked around, and he saw people and angels sitting on clouds with harps, and that's all they did. And so the politician sat for a moment and said, you know what, St. Peter, I think I prefer hell. And he said, you sure? And he said, yep. He said, this is a lifetime. And he said, yeah, I prefer hell. So down they went. And the devil escorted him down. And he said, you know, you're with me forever now. And he said, yeah, I can't wait. And the elevator doors opened up. And the politician saw the most horrific scenes he has ever seen. Fire, brimstone, people screaming. It was just awful. The devil threw him into the pile. And the politician is screaming, what happened to what I just saw? What happened to the beautiful area? And the devil said, well, Mr. Politician, that was only the campaign. Now you're elected. I had to tell you that. Anyway, back to the wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Jerry. I'm calling from Mississippi. What's like up, your show. Jerry?
Thank you.
I got a story for you about a little episode with demons.
What happened?
Well, weirdest thing, you know, we work night shift where I work, and we've been dealing with this kind of thief kind of thing that we thought was a thief. And actually, it turns out he's not actually a thief. It's more like demon. He's not even human.
What is he taking, Jerry?
Gas.
He's taking gas? You mean gas? Gasoline?
Yeah, gasoline.
He's siphoning it out of the pumps?
He's drinking it.
He's drinking it? What's he doing with it after he drinks it?
That is a good question. But we actually caught this thing drinking gas.
No, now, when you say you caught it, you saw it. You obviously didn't capture it, or you'd still have the thing, right?
We didn't capture him, but yes, we did see him.
Now, what did he look like?
I would say in between, a cross between a half human and a half wolf-looking thing with red eyes.
A demon? And he sucks gasoline. Now, that's a first for me. We're going to continue with open lines. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And I wanted to thank all of you who participated in the program yesterday during many of the open line segments. And also, more importantly,
I wanted to thank on the air producers Lisa Lyon and Tom Danheiser, Stephanie Smith, Dan Galante, and Steve Carr and Ross Mitchell for making last night's special report so important, so timely, because these people just busted themselves to give you a live 7-hour program. I know not all of you get that early feed, but we were live for 3 hours before the regular Coast to Coast program started. And had it not been for those individuals, there's no way I could have done that. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I just wanted to give you a reminder about the After Dark newsletter. You can call 1-888-727-5505 to subscribe. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we are giving you two old classic programs, DVDs, or CDs, actually, of Father Malachi Martin and Art Bell talking about demons and possessions. When you subscribe to After Dark and renew, so take advantage of it. These are truly collector items. 1-888-727-5505 or online, coasttocoastam.com. Well, I'm in the tail end of my trip here in St. Louis now, wrapping things up. I'll be back in Los Angeles on April 29th. That's a Sunday night. And then get ready to do the programs beginning of that Monday, April 30th. But a great trip. And, you know, it's always good, you know, to see your children. I've got three grandchildren. And, you know, living in Los Angeles for the years that I have, it's just great to be able to come here and do the programs and have an opportunity to see them and some friends as well. And I just wish the darn weather was better, but it's starting to change again. The St. Louis Springs that I really wanted to see are just starting again. To the phones we go, open lines for the rest of this hour. The next hour, a skeptic who turns into someone who believes in the paranormal. That has happened. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, sir.
I was just wanted to congratulate you, your staff, your screener, that guy, that voice guy. No, George Norrie. What's that
Mitchell.
Guy's name?
Ross Mitchell. He's out of Reno, Nevada.
Awesome voice. Anyway, congratulations to you and your staff. You guys do an awesome show. I've been an avid listener for 10 years now.
He's very kind of you. You know what is Art Bell kind of gave me a finished house to live in. You know what it's like to move into a house and you don't have to decorate it? That's what he did for me. I just showed up. He gave me the key, and that was all I needed.
Yeah, the furniture, everything is all dusted out for you, ready to
go.
Yeah,
perfect.
Paintings on the wall.
Yep.
Anyway, he did two fantastic shows over the weekend, by the way. I just wanted to say a couple of things. Your show last night on the Virginia Tech slayings and everything, my condolences go out to the families and students and faculty. Also, your timing on your show last night was just incredible, and how you went through it, orchestrated through it, incredible. I just want to say that you're the most incredible radio personality out there on this planet today.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Just okay. Thank you for, for the time and opportunity.
Well, thank you. That's very, very, very kind of you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Al from Sacramento, California.
Hello, Al. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I got a couple free ones for you here.
Sure.
One on the trucker situation. And this is all hearsay and speculation, of course, but I've heard because they would be truckers that are not here in the United States, the same safety rules and laws wouldn't exactly apply.
You that may be right.
That
you
might
may
be something
right.
that the truckers and the Teamsters might want to jump on.
Yeah.
Driving unsafe vehicles and things like that.
And I think their cargo will go unchecked, I believe.
That could be, too. Another one is the B thing. Everybody's talking about cell phones, but nobody's mentioned the Iridian, the GPS, the radio and communication satellites, the spy satellites. They all work up there in the high band.
They all could be contributing. Yep. If that's the cause... Everything electronic like that has some bearing on what's going on there.
And the last thing is the time frame for the little massacre we just had. The guy bought his gun. 31 days later, he bought the second one.
Mm-hmm.
He filed off the serial numbers. He went in his dormitory, killed two. 2 hours later, he went into a larger area. So it's like, what are we saying here? Is this one of those, there's not enough people in this building, so I'll go seek out some place where I have more victims?
Well, you know what? the guy was troubled, obviously. I saw a report today that he might have been on some kind of antidepressant drug. If that's indeed the case, here we go again, where it seems like these things crop up a lot. And our guest last night, Dr. Daniel Amen, talked about the brain like that, the criminal brain, the brain of hate and evil. And I bet if they ever do an autopsy on this kid and look at his brain, you might find something very seriously wrong. Thanks for the call. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
George?
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is Bill from Tampa, Florida. How you doing tonight?
Good, Bill.
Listen, I want to thank you personally. That was an awesome program that you and your staff put on last night. It was balanced. It was good. And it was just a lot of information that you put out.
Right. You're welcome.
Which is not what I called about. I called because the FDA is trying to sneak another one on us again, which you have had some comments on about. And I got a newsletter today that says that the FDA has very quietly put up on their site last December a new guidance which will declare that any and all food or supplement, and I emphasize any and all food or supplement, which claims to alleviate or cure any kind of ailment can be regulated at the FDA's discretion to be considered a drug.
Yep, they want to do away with our ability to take natural supplements.
Absolutely.
And I think that's dangerous. We've got to fight this.
And I could email you a link. They will allow public comments until April the 30th, according to my information, if you could put it on the website or if you choose to. But I just wanted to alert.
I tell you what, send it right to me.
Absolutely.
Send it to me and send it to Lex, L-E-X, at coasttocoastam.com.
I'll do my best. I got this like third hand, so I've got a link of a link, but I'll
see. All right. Well, and we'll find it. And also, I got to get a hold of Dr. Robin Falkov, who has been following this as well. She might be able to assemble a program for us, almost like a roundtable discussion. I think it's abominable that we would not have the ability to use natural supplements to take care of some of our own problems. Look, I do, and I've been holding back telling you exactly some of the natural ingredients I've been taking for my arteries. You know, I'm 56 years old, and I had high calcification, and I want to do this show until the end of time, and I want to take care of myself, and you want to take care of yourself. And one of the things I do is I do it naturally. I've got doctors and people like that, just like you do. But I've done a lot of work and a lot of research, and I got to tell you, if I wasn't the talk show host, I'd be an alternative medicine doctor because I enjoy it and I enjoy helping people. And I've been wrestling with putting down exactly the things I'm taking specifically because, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor, but I just may do that one day. I may give Lex all the information that I'm doing. I may disclaim it. Obviously, you know, if you're going to take it, that's your own business. But they're very natural supplements that I've been taking in conjunction with everything else I do. And, it reduces arteriosclerosis, plaque, and I don't know. Maybe I have an obligation to you to tell you exactly what I do. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
My name is Tiger. I'm calling from Mississippi, and I have a pretty interesting story to tell you. First of all, I want to tell you I love the show. Listen to it all the time.
Your name's Tiger? Is that your natural name, your birth name?
That is my real name on my birth certificate, yes.
Why or how did they name you Tiger?
I'm not real sure. It just, they never could agree on a name.
You mean you never asked them? Why'd you call me Tiger?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
My dad always said if he had a little girl, her nickname was going to be Tiger. So they could not agree on a name, so they named me Tiger.
Do you roar like a tiger?
I'm pretty much a wildcat, yeah.
Laura, what's on your mind?
But back to my story, I actually hang out in a club in New Orleans called Marie Laveau.
Uh-huh.
You heard of Marie Laveau?
I have heard of it.
Well, she's a voodoo priestess for all of y'all who don't know, and I have been hanging out in this club for years and have always tried to get in the back room, and I've heard things that happen back there that, you know, nobody ever believes. So I finally got a chance to go back there, and they had a seance, and they called Marie Laveau's spirit, and she actually came. And she came, and she, you know, there was some lack of a better word, some talking going on. And she told me that I was looking for love. And she said she was going to put a love spell out. So she did. Well, three or four days went around. Nothing happened. My life was perfectly the same, normal. And then one day, this guy shows up and knocks on my front door. And I answer the door. I'm getting ready for work. I have my uniform on. And he says, I've been sent to you. So I'm like, okay, who sent you? He said, the spirit world. I said, okay, this is a little strange. I thought my friends were playing a joke on me.
Right.
Well, now this guy will not leave me alone. Okay. He follows me. He's everywhere I am.
And I guess you don't like him, do you, Tiger?
I do not like him. I don't even think he's a real guy.
What do you think?
I really
he
don't.
Is?
I don't think he's a real guy. I think he's a spirit.
Like a demon?
Well, I don't know if he's a demon. He's never done anything bad. You know, he's just extremely strange, dark, very pale, with very dark eyes.
Does he know where you live?
Yes, he came to my front door and knocked on my door.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think he's a real man.
Have you called the police on him?
No, I haven't called the police. You know, he hasn't bothered me. He just turns up everywhere I go.
Hey, and what do you tell him? Hey, get a, what's his name, by the way?
Don't talk to him. I try to avoid him.
He's like shows up, he stands like right behind you?
Yeah, I mean, he's always there. Everywhere I go, he's always there.
All right, you look at him and you don't say anything to him? Like, stop following me?
I just try to ignore him. And he never, he never does anything to me. Like, you know, he sent me flowers one time.
Tiger, if he's real, I think you better get the cops involved in this. This doesn't sound good. You got to protect yourself.
I don't think he's real, though, George.
Well, let's not worry about that. Let's assume for a moment he is. You know, and if he's not real, then the police aren't going to be able to help you. But if he is, I think you might want to get him away from you. I mean, he could crack at any time.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess maybe you're right. It's just, I don't think he's real. Is there somebody who could help me, like, reverse seance and send this fellow back to where it is he came from?
Do you want to take a chance that he's real or not real? Call the police and just say you're being stuck. Do you know how to get a hold of the guy? You know where he lives?
Oh, I don't know anything about him. The only thing I know is that he said he'd been sent to me from the spirit.
How often does he show up?
About two to three times a week.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to get some law enforcement help on this one. I, you know, we get a lot of police officers are listening to this show right now, Tiger, and I'm telling you, they're probably agreeing with me. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, George. I was at your book signing in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
And after I got my book signed out, there's 4 million books in that store, and
I wish I had sold them all.
Yeah, I was gonna look around and see if I wanted to purchase a couple more books, but I got urged to just get the heck out of there. So I left my truck in Gresham, which is a nearby town, and I rode the train into Portland. And the train stop is just a couple of blocks from the bookstore. I went back there and got on the train, and the train went a couple of blocks, and I sit up front because I like to look out the windows, and I saw a bunch of people scatter and felt a bump, and I had wrapped my mind around the front of the train, and I could tell there was somebody under there, and I could feel the weight of the train. In my mind, I was surprised at how light it was, and I've often wondered if maybe I helped hold the train off of that guy, because he wasn't hurt seriously. He tried to commit suicide. He dove under the train.
You might have. That's amazing.
I felt very charged when I left the book signing. There was a lot of good people there. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah. The place was full of energy. And let me tell you, you must have tapped into something and alleviated the weight of that train, because that guy should have been smashed into little tiny pieces.
Yeah, I just felt the urge to get out of there. I had to be on that train.
Well, good for you. You know, and whenever you get that feeling of intuition, act on it. So many of us get it, and we don't do anything with it, and then we always end up saying, I should have. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Beverly from Ohio.
Hey, Bev.
How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the massacre yesterday. It really upsets me that they keep saying it was the worst massacre, you know, that took place. And I just feel that there's somebody out there listening to that. And you know how some people are, they got to do one better than the
mm-hmm.
other.
I know what you mean.
I think that they should say something, and it's sad, but I think they should say that the person that does this is a coward. I mean, they take an easy way out, and because they're not man enough to deal with their demons or their problems. And it just makes me sad and sick, worrying that somebody else is going to try and do something worse now.
And eventually, Bev, somebody will try to do something worse than that. I think that's the kind of planet and society we live in. I don't understand why this is such a hateful planet. I really don't. Wildcard line, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey. I heard what you said earlier, and I waited 40 minutes, and I still remembered what you said. So I want to ask you why you think the government is holding back the bird flu cures.
Well, I don't know if they're holding back the bird flu cures. They've got a vaccine out there. I wouldn't take the vaccine. I don't trust vaccines. You can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to take a flu vaccine. And if they tried to hold me down and give it to me, I'm not going to take it.
So you're against it? Do you think they're not making... Do you think the public is part of the cover-up?
I think they want to make money. I think there are groups out there that want to take advantage of us. I've been saying all along that there is going to be no natural bird flu pandemic. Notice how I say natural, because I wouldn't put it past some people to create a virus in order to create a vaccine to make big bucks on it. I just have a suspicion about people when it comes to following the money trail.
Right. People just are out there to make money. They don't care what it does. They just say, this is a bird flu vaccine. Take it. You'll feel better.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that there aren't some gallant people out there or some politicians who care about people or members of companies that really care about people. I mean, but I think they're few and far between. I really do.
True. But major corporations only care about money, even though the people in there may care about people themselves.
Major corporations are set up to make money to enhance the value of their stock for stockholders. I mean, that's the name of the game. And there are ethical corporations and there are unethical corporations, as well as there are. And keep in mind, corporations are people. They're not things. People are behind them. And that's the way it is. First time caller line, can you do this in 40 seconds? That's all I have left.
I think the show is great, George.
Thanks.
My name's Doug. I'm calling from British Columbia, Canada, and I just wanted to say that most of the people in Canada, I'm calling in reference to the two calls you got yesterday, most of the people here don't realize how much we rely on the freedom you guys provide for us. And I just wanted to say to all the guys that are out there, all the servicemen, thank you.
Good for you, Doug. Thank you as well. Look, I've said it all along. Canadians here, folks, those of you who are United States citizens, are our brothers and sisters, and they will watch your back. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. The rest of the program continues now. I'm George Norrie. Don't go away.